really, it's a privilege to come down to Kwinana today. Normally I'm in Fremantle, but I always enjoy coming to Kwinana. Always sense the presence of God here. And I know that God is doing something in your midst, and that which is good. He has to be doing something, otherwise we wouldn't want to be here, would we? So I feel I've got a word today for you that will encourage you. It's really part of our encourage service today. And if I can just get it to work. So I've been praying and I just felt God give me this word. I knew that I was going to have to preach probably about 4 weeks ago, and I'd been praying and I'd had different ideas come and nothing ever seemed to really settle. And I thought at the beginning of this week, I thought, God, I need something shortly. I was starting to get a little anxious. But no, God is good, and once you sort of get yourself together and rest in Him, then it comes. But the word I feel that God has given me, and this is for all of us, is that God says that there is more. There is more. You know, we haven't reached, any of us haven't reached our potential in what God has given, what God wants us to do. And certainly the church hasn't reached its potential to what God wants the church to be able to do. So if you think that you've made it, well, I think you're a better person than I am, because I don't know of anyone that really has made it. People might think because they've got millions of dollars they've made it, but I'm sure inside they know they haven't made it, so they have to keep trying to make more. That's generally how it works. Anyway, so there is more, and just in John 10 verse 10, it says this, that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. And we know that that's talking about the devil. And so if we're getting stolen from, if things are being destroyed around about us, that's the devil trying to attack us. But Jesus said, and this was his promise, that I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So God wants us to have more abundant life. Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus, having abundant life, if I'm not having abundant life, if I'm being assaulted and the devil's attacking me, the first thing I need to do is get on my knees before God and pray, or start reading his Bible, or get some worship music on, so that I get more of him into my life, more of that abundance. It may mean just coming to church more often, rather than just maybe once a month, try and make it, you know, three times a month or once a week. That would be great. But you'll be encouraged. You'll be built up. God doesn't want us as Christians to be under. He wants us to be over. He created us to be overcomers. Overcomers. In the Old Testament it says we're the head and not the tail. But so often, Christians, I know that, and I've felt it before, like I feel like I'm just the tail, getting walked over, or, nothing's going right for me. But God called us to be the head, that we've been raised with Christ and we're seated in heavenly places. That's where we come from, a position of strength. In Ephesians 3:20 it says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, beyond even our greatest prayers, hopes or dreams, according to his power that he works within us. So God can do superabundantly work within our lives. So what I say, you were made for more. You were made for more. We have a destiny to fulfill. Just as I was praying, it was Thursday night, yeah. I was praying and I was still trying to get the sermon together, and this just, it might have been Friday morning I woke up, I just had this one thought just pop into my mind, and it was plateau. And then I got the gist of it once I looked up what plateau meant. You know, a plateau is a state of little or no change following a period of activity or progress. So, and as I thought about it, I thought it's so easy as Christians to plateau. It's so easy after a season of, being faithful or, you know, just being productive. It's like, you get to a place where you get over that and then you just plateau. And when you plateau, you tend to just really drift. Well, you don't drift, you're comfortable, you know. You're comfortable. You go with the flow. You're not really that fussed. If I make it to church, I do. If I don't, I won't. I don't probably seek God as much. I certainly probably don't pray as much now. I've got no anything in front of me at the moment. Things are pretty cruisy. Got a good job, money's coming in. Life's pretty cruisy. No more battles at the moment. But rest assured, they always come. But the thing is, God wants us to advance. He never wants us just to plateau and stay in one spot. He always wants us to move forward. You know, the cry of God is to come to the heights or come out to the depths. We can't just be stuck in one place thinking that everything's going to be all right, because it doesn't. And generally, if you're in that state, you tend to drift back. And then it's hard to really get cracking again. So you have to really be persevering. You have to keep pushing into God. But it's not out of a work scenario, because so often it's so easy to think, well, I've just got to do more to gain more from God. But as Pastor Naomi was just sharing, it's about, you know, coming and, coming and being still before God. It's resting in Him. It's getting to learn from Him, grow with Him. And we really can't. So if we plateau, we also make ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy, I believe. And we don't really have a lot of desire for more. We're sort of happy with what we've got, especially in the Christian life. And I believe that God is just all inside of us all. There's something that would always stir us. There's got to be more. I know for me as a young Christian, I had an encounter with God, and it sort of probably revolutionized my life to the point that I was a very young Christian. It really sort of enforced on me that God is really real. God is really real. So any time that I sort of felt like I wanted to step back, I couldn't deny that I'd been touched by God, and God had revealed Himself to me in a powerful way. And so it created the desire to keep pushing in, because I wanted more, because there'd been nothing that I'd experienced in the world that compared to my encounter with God. There was nothing, one thing I'd done in the world that could compare to that encounter with God. And so for me, even though there were times where I probably, plateaued, I didn't stay there long, because I was always stirred with that encounter, and I wanted more. You know, I wanted more of God. I wanted more. And that's how God wants us to have more. He wants us to be closer to Him. He wants to use us in a greater way. You know, we've all been given gifts, spiritual gifts to use. So if we spend time with Him, God will help you to exercise and start using those spiritual gifts. We've been doing a Bible study in my Connect group of all books, Revelation, which I'm having to do a heck of a lot of study to get a lesson together of when we have Connect group. But we've just been going through the churches, and the church in Pergamos was one of the letters that Jesus wrote, and really it's relevant to the days that we're living in as well. From AD 33 to AD 312 AD, Christians were being persecuted, martyred, and killed all over wherever churches were planted through the Roman Empire. Most Roman governors would get them, and they did horrendous things to them. But the surprising thing was that the church didn't shrink, but the church grew, the church expanded. Disciples were everywhere. Disciples were, flowing out of the church. But the main thing was that they were having to obviously press into God, keep close to Him, close to the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise they'd be, taken out. So you had to be on your knees. And so what happened was that in 312 AD, Constantine became the ruling empire of the Roman Empire. And at a certain stage in his life, he had a vision of a cross, and he had a words, conquer. So what he decided to do, he ended up, and there's a lot more into the story, but what he did was he ended up mandating that everyone would be a Christian, had to be a Christian. Wouldn't that be great if the government said, well, we all have to be Christians, we need every person has to be at church on a Sunday. No more using the Lord's name in vain, nothing like that. You have to be in church on a Sunday. It sounds good in practice, but if it's out of a mandate, out of a rule, what happens is people are just doing it because they have to do it. We have to go to church. We're just dragging our heels in. There's no heart tie-up in it. And so what happened, and it was easy for Christians there, they weren't no more persecution, but what happened was the church plateaued. It adopted worldly practices and became religious and lost its effectiveness. It became full of rules and man-made ideas. And we don't want that in our lives. And I think sometimes when we plateau, it's so easy to if we're not reading our Bible, we might be watching more TV or getting, reading other things, and we're getting a lot of other ideas that come in. And sometimes, I've read of a number of Christians that have denounced their Christianity and have turned their back on it because, and these people were going solidly for God. You just wonder how that happens. But when you get caught in philosophies and what the world would dish up and different ideas and how it should be and how that should be, you sort of think, I don't know if I'm really a Christian, and that's really what's happened to them, which is pretty sad, really. So we don't really want to lose our effectiveness, even as believers. God, He says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to lay hands on the sick. And, it's difficult to do that, but God will bring the right people across your path for you to be able to. God knows you. He doesn't expect you to go out and hold a great big evangelistic meeting or something, but in your workplace, you can share some hope and love with a person. It was just probably a couple of weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at my work, I had an opportunity, some come up now, well, this hadn't one come up for a while, but I had this gentleman came into work and he had two crutches and I got his machine together and everything like that. And just as I was, I just thought I'd just ask him what was wrong because I thought he might have had just some hip problems. And I just said, you've just had an operation or something, you know, your hips or something. And he said, no, I've got cancer. And I thought, oh, gosh. And I just felt inside just a compassion. Anyway, went carried on and carried it all out to his car. Then I thought, I had that ten seconds where I ask him if he'd like prayer or do I just go blessed, go home. But I just sort of felt, to pray. So I said to him, look, sir, I'd really like to pray for you. I'm a Christian. Just really believe that God can touch you. And then I thought he'd just walked into his car, but he'd walked up onto the pavement and he had his head down and he was crying. And I sort of just prayed for him and just, obviously asked God to, to heal, but just to draw him closer to him and bring some hope into his life. But it was only in those, only had those moments, but I came away and I came back and I was telling my boss and I just said, I just really felt compassion. You know, really when we're going to heal, when we want to heal people, God does the healing, but when we want to lay hands on people, it should come from a heart of compassion. Otherwise, look, I've laid hands on people before and haven't even really felt that, anything, I'm just doing it out of a sense of duty. But when it comes from compassion, and so God will open up those means before you, and you just have to step out and do it. It's not, and most people will always be grateful for prayer. So if they say no, well, it's all right. It's no problem. Point two is divine discontent. And really that's just, I've been in that place a number of times, quite often. I'm discontented with my walk with God, or I'm discontent that I'm not seeing enough things, seeing enough of God moving in my life. And Psalm 42 verse 7 says, deep calls to deep, at the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. The Holy Spirit within the deep of you is calling out to the deep of God, and deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. In 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, and it says, but it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The call for more of God becomes to be more in. I want to be more in God. I don't want to paddle around in the shallows just getting my ankles wet. I've got a little bit of a taste, but I don't really want to go out further. It's a bit further out there. The deep looks too deep for me, but God is calling us out into the depths. Because when we're walking around in the shallows, it's like everything I can control. I don't have to trust God that much because, I've got a job, I've got money coming in, everything's pretty good. I don't hardly need to, pray much. I'm right, I'm a Christian. I've asked Jesus in my heart. I come to church when I want, but I don't want any more than that. But God calls us out into the depths, and when we get out into the depths, that's where I have to trust God, because I'm out of my comfort zone. I can't do it. I can't control the situation. I can't fix things out there where I could fix them in the shallows. I have to rely totally on God. And to be in that place, it's having the rest in God. You know, it's so easy. We get so in our jobs, we get so skilled at what we're doing, we almost do things automatically. But it's amazing when you have problems come up. I repair things, so sometimes I can't work out why something doesn't work, but I should know how to work it out. I know all this stuff. I've been doing it for years. And it's like sometimes you've got to step back and let God, and the Holy Spirit will just give you the idea. And if we take the time to be able to do that. So the deep inside your spirit, deep inside, the Spirit of God is calling you to explore the depths of the Father's person, presence, and power. The call for more of God becomes, to be more in. So more fruitfulness, more influence, more love, more compassion, more wisdom, more of His presence. The cry for more of God is God-breathed, God-powered, for He created you for more. You have a destiny. He created you for more. In John 14:12, as I was saying in Fremantle this morning, I've used this scripture so many times, but I haven't seen the greater works. I'm going to want to do the greater works. But anyway, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the words that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." So Jesus says that we can do the greater works. We can do greater works. And when I'm thinking of Jesus' greater works, I'm thinking of miracles. And I think I'm going to do greater miracles than Jesus. Then I really thought about it. What's going to be greater than walking on water? I don't think there's very many miracles that would be greater than that. And really, when I've sort of thought about the scripture and studied it a bit more, it's more of the fact that Jesus wants to use all of us. He wants to use the church, His body, to go and do these works, to do the greater works. We'd be doing the greater works if Jesus was one person and He touched so many people. How many do you think, with His church being involved, how many people do you think we could touch as a body of believers? So I believe that, you know, God is stirring His church in these days, because the church needs to arise. The church needs to come out of itself and to be the light that the world needs to see. The world is pretty dark, and it's getting darker, So the church should be getting lighter and brighter and more inviting. And, you know, as a church, we should be seeing, miracles where the lame are walking and the deaf are hearing and people are being delivered and set free. Because I'm sure if we were seeing that weekly, we'd have people beating the doors down to come in to be set free. But not only that, we'd take that out into the marketplace, out into the byways, the highways, and people, because people followed Jesus. Why did they follow Him? Not only for His words, because they knew that if they had a sickness, they would be healed. And my last point is less is more. Sometimes Well, I always used to pray, more of you, Lord, and less of me, which is a good prayer, and there's been songs written about that. But sometimes it's hard getting rid of the more of me. Sometimes I want to hold on to things. I want to keep them close. I don't want to let go. But as we surrender, it's really, that's a lot of people don't like that word in the church, surrender. You know, well, we have to surrender, don't we? We surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to go further. We have to surrender all our life. I don't think you can be a Christian, and where I've seen Christian, where there's maybe five or six things in their lives, like Jesus is number seven, or, you know, down the pecking order. Jesus has to be number one. So we need to surrender all. As we surrender, we're going to gain more of God. When Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done in the Garden of Gethsemane, he surrendered his will to the Father. And through his sacrifice, he opened the door for all to come into the kingdom of God. What do you think he could do with you and me? Philippians 2:13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The pursuit for more constrained with this pursuit for Christ, that, you know, Jesus has to be the forefront. You know, Jesus leads us to the Father. With Christ as our destination, we can rest in his grace as he draws us to himself. Then I'm in partnership. But when I'm not in partnership, when I'm trying to do it on my own, and that's been me for a lot of my Christian life, I've just got to pray more. I've just got to read the Bible more. I've just got to do this. And it's like I'm trying to do all these things. I hear, read a book where it's five steps to something. Oh, I've got to try and do those steps. I'm putting all the pressure on myself to do these things to gain more of God. But I'm doing it in my own strength, not out of the grace of Jesus, but out of my own natural ability. I'm trying to do these things. I'm striving. So when I'm in partnership, when I'm not in partnership with Christ, grace becomes works, rest becomes striving, and faith becomes fear. So instead of trying to do more, I would just need to come and rest more. Just come and rest more. And that's what I feel that God is saying, come and rest more. Rest in me more. You know, the things, activities are great. They keep us focused. But when the activities take us away from spending time with God, that's when we get burnt out, we plateau. So we've got to keep a freshness around about our lives. Keep a freshness around. So in conclusion, I would say, ask for more. In Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, I'll just read this out to you, and then we'll just pray and I feel that God will want to just touch some people today. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's a great prayer that you can just pray over yourself. It's a great prayer to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you.